broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendrick.
Glory days are coming to an end for the health insurance
industry. I have a theory, and the theory is this, that the Chicago Mafia inside...
Hang in there, honey.
I'm a big boy.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about. Tonight is our crime night, so we've devoted a pretty good portion of the show tonight to talking with, as we just did for, the better part of an hour, Dr. Michael Stone from Investigation Discovery's Most Evil and other folks who've done writing and have done investigative journalism into the world of crime. So tonight we have the author of 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton, Mark Ebner, who's going to be with us. And we also have the author of the John Dillinger book that we've been talking about tonight, Professor Gorn, who wrote a book about a year in the life of John Dillinger. And it just so happens it's like a pretty serious year in the life of John Dillinger. 1933 to 1934, where he eventually, he robbed a whole bunch of banks and then he met his end in Chicago. The book's called Dillinger's Wild Ride. We're going to have that for you coming up here in the next half hour. 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, where we left off before we had Dr. Stone, we were talking about this poll, and I want to revisit this because this is really important. This is a big part of why we do this radio show. And if anybody from Daily Kos is listening or Huffington Post, it ain't anything personal. As I said, you guys do what you do. You're an opinion site. You are opinion sites. You are editorial sites. People go to you to get a point of view. But nobody should ever go to Daily Kos or Huffington Post, or to be perfectly honest with you, because I've been reading and sort of, changing my point of view as I've been reading the Fox website. Fox News is in danger of becoming a highly biased news site. They're losing their value as an actual news site for me because I look at how they report and I look at the stories that they highlight, and it's simply not the kind of reporting that I need doing my job anyway, which is just to get some information, man. You know what I mean? Just what the hell happened here, man? See, that's a big part of what we got to do on our show every night is take a news story and then tell you, oh, okay, this is some writer who's spinning it. Let me just tell you, a house burned down. Well, you can't find that out? No, I can't find that out because like 9 out of 10 news sites now, they're not just saying a house burned down. They're saying there was fire. And do you know what fire is? Well, fire is something that was invented by a caveman, and some people use it. And finally, about 85 paragraphs down, you find out, well, there was a fire in a house, the house burned down. Then, of course, before I even get to that, I got to find out the opinion of the writer on who started the fire. And will we ever find out if the fire department responded? Yeah, another 16 pages back after he gets through all the horse dung that he wants to get through about his opinion on fire, houses, who started it, and, whether or not it was really fire or just a figment of his imagination. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. And I know, and this is no comment on the intelligence of my listeners or anybody viewing our video cast tonight, which, by the way, you can go and see at philhendryshow.com. But this is what you guys have to contend with. It's either that or you just throw your hands up in disgust. You flip on Mary Hart. You see whether or not her legs are still hot. John Tesh, I don't know where he is. He's doing a radio show. Whatever it is you want to watch. The cat's over there at What to Wear. And forget about it. Just don't take anything. Just don't even involve yourself in knowing what the news is, because where the hell are you going to go to find it? Well, you got to just kind of figure this stuff out on your own. But this poll, about half of less than half of Republicans believe Obama was born in the United States, less than half of all Republicans believe that Obama's birth certificate is valid, is right off the top. I have to throw that entire story out, Although I've already got my opinion on what is controlling the Republican Party and why the Republican Party is moving in the direction that it's moving in, and who are the loudest voices and the squeakiest wheels in the Republican Party, and it ain't all that good to begin with. So if that story is true, if that poll commissioned by Daily Kos, which immediately, and Daily Kos knows this, you guys over there know this, Marcus, you know this, Nobody's going to take a poll at UCAT's commission seriously. Do you understand that? I don't even know if it would change your thinking. I mean, again, if you're just tuning in and you're hearing me seemingly diss the Daily Coast, I'm not. I know how they do things. They got a message board there. People post, and a lot of it's really crazy. And then they have cats that, you know, they put their blogs up and they put articles up, and that's cool. And then Marcus has his page, and they got a lot of different things that they do, but it's an opinion site. But if you guys, honest to God, seriously, if you really want me to take a poll commissioned by you seriously, then you have to change the whole nature of what it is that you do. And I wouldn't recommend it. What you do well. But please don't tell me, aha, look at this. Oh, really? What is that? A poll here says that less than all Republicans believe that Obama was born in the United States and that was commissioned by the Daily Coast. Well, after, oh, now wait just a minute. Hold the phone. You ever send a friend of yours out to get beer, but only you didn't send them out, right? When you get there, you go, is there beer? No, we just sent Smiley out. And then you didn't send Smiley. Well, what do you mean? He comes back with that rot gut, man. He comes back with Mickey's wide mouth. Well, I didn't know anything. You don't know. Every time we send him out for beer, he comes back with the crap. Why don't you notice? It's the same principle.
Yeah, well, except Mickey's wide mouth is it's really good.
Mickey's wide mouth is good.
Mickey Widemouth, man, I know why you like Mickey's Widemouth, and I ain't gonna say it on the radio.
Are you okay. So now you're saying I like Mickey's Widemouth for personal reasons.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't make any difference to what it is I'm talking about right now. Mickey's Widemouth for personal reasons. If you have that kid, you know, that one guy that you know, he's a great guy, but you didn't send Charlie to go get the beer. You please tell me you didn't do that. Well, what he's going to come back with that freaking Coors Light. I wouldn't give Coors Light to a man who hadn't had a drink of water, was crawling through that whole big, that skillet of a desert that Lawrence of Arabia had to go across. The guy's dying of thirst. I guarantee you the guy's going to crawl up to you and he's going to say, give me some, I got a Coors Light. Forget it. You know, just you'll keep on crawling. Well, the same thing goes, guys, when you are looking for news and you're looking for information. So what do I have to do now with this poll that says fewer than half of all Republicans believe that Obama was born in America? I got to crap can it and I got to start all over again. And why is that? Because as people, we don't know where to go to get the information. And frankly, it's not that difficult. It isn't. First of all, you get a variety of different sources, two or three. Secondly, you see what each source has in common. Thirdly, you recognize that the individuals writing those articles are not necessarily writing those articles to give you information that is factual. They're writing those articles so they can get promoted. They're writing those articles so they can get more money. They're writing those articles so they can get laid. They're writing those articles for reasons that have everything to do with themselves and nothing to do with you. Is that bad? Not necessarily. That is the existential, nature of the world, man. I mean, that's the self-serving nature of the world. So that's why we go and find different places for our information. And Huffington Post, same thing. Fine. It's a good website. You know, I don't like the stuff that I see on it because I don't agree with a lot of the crap that I see on it. The last thing they had, you know, they put, and the other thing about a lot of the progressive sites is they, as much as they try to be funny, they're not. You know, that's the one area where you guys really got to work on it, man, like humor. Okay. You got, Colbert and you got Stewart and that's it. That's it. Colbert, Stewart, and then the abyss. Just a big comedy void, man. Between those guys and what that one cat wrote there on Huffington that one weekend about Palin's kid. You know, that whole Mongo Chow. Actually, we did a very funny bit called Mongo Chow once. Didn't have anything to do with Palin. But
Mongo Chow is so bitching. I wish they sold it. I'd like to have some.
Yeah, and I bet you'd eat it, too.
Oh, does that mean... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. You step right in there, man. You'd love to have a bag of Mongo Chow, wouldn't you?
Would you, bud?
I'd like to get a 50-pound bag, yeah, but I could eat it.
Yeah, you would, man. You'd eat the Mongo Chow because you think that stuff is good. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the two of you idiots. In any event, that cat that wrote that article about Palin's kid, unfunny, man. He even had to admit that it wasn't funny. So why did it go up on her site in the first place? I don't know. You know, they pulled it down. So bottom line. Until such time as I read a poll that was commissioned by not just the Rasmussen, but maybe I need CNN and whatever the hell they team up with. Is it CBS, CNN, TNA? I don't know what they got. Time Magazine or something. In other words, people with a real, you know, experience at doing this and are journalists, per se. I ain't going to believe any poll that says less than half Republicans believe that Obama was born in the United States. However, I will tell you this. You guys in the Republican Party are up against the perception that you've got your head so far up your rear ends, man. All you need to do is open your eyes or open your mouth to open your eyes to see yourselves walking off a cliff. You guys, you know, you're all jacked up. Real oddball, baby. And until you guys are able to pull it together and put something on the table that everybody can recognize as a reasonable program and platform for this country, why don't you take your position in line behind the Green Party, will you? Because that's where you're headed. No kidding. And that moron, that blunt jackball, the guy that we played last hour, I just don't know what he's done. You know, and then you got Lou Dobbs. Oh, come on. All right, 877-876-PHIL. So that's what I wanted to say on that. Coming up next, as long as we're talking about mental cases, we got a guy that testified he expected God to heal his child. Wait a minute, isn't that what God's supposed to do? And also, a Hawaii coach, Macklin, that's Greg Macklin, apologizes for a gay slur, one that nobody really would have heard hadn't been for some reporter typing away and saying he said the F word. And so now the cat is in big, he's in big hot water. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and watch our streaming video, listen to our streaming audio, and listen to our screaming audio, if you're lucky enough, during the breaks. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, yeah, our website, philhendryshow.com, that's where you go to watch the live streaming video, hear the live streaming audio, and you can be just so ever close to us in our joy and in our endeavors every night here on the Phil Hendry Show, a show that hopefully knows what it's talking about, you know, hopefully. Now then, man testifies he expected God to heal his child. Now, where do you think I fall on a subject like this? Well, if you just tune in, you got to be asking yourself a question. Is he a liberal or is he a conservative? He must be a conservative because 958 million guys doing radio shows in this country are doing a conservative show. And I could say to you, for instance, I voted for George Bush in 2004 and I was happy to do it and I'd do it again. And I voted for Barack Obama in 2008, happy to do it and I'd do it again. I got my reasons. Well, what are those, Phil? I think different times necessitate sometimes different people and different approaches. I believe in the fluidity of life. I believe in the ebb and the flow of the times we live in and the, you know, the possibility that one-size-fits-all politics doesn't necessarily work all the time. What do you think about one-size-fits-all when it comes to sweaters or pants? Do you like those? You ever put on a one-size-fits-all pair of pants? It means you're a fat ass. That's what it means. One size fits all, and that works. Yeah, here, I got something right behind me. The guys on the video cast can see. Here's my one size fits all hat. It's called a ski cap. All right, I'm going to put it on over my headphones so people can see it. It looks asinine, I know, but my one size fits all hat, you know, one size fits all. You look like you wear something like this, man. You look like you're a member of the Polar Bear Club. You know, you look like you ought to be.
Yeah, go to MetaFastPhil.com and you won't need one size fits all like Phil does.
Thanks for that, man.
Well, it's true.
Well, it is true. If you go to MetaFastPhil.com, you won't need the one. I don't wear one size fits all pants.
Well, you just said you did.
No, I didn't. I said, have you ever worn them?
You said you tried some on. That's good enough for me. You must have a closet full of one size fit all pants.
One size fit all?
You know what I'm saying.
Anyway, one size fits all pants, one size fits all hats. You look like, you know, you look like you got to get on the minibus, man, with your hot dog and your bologna and your jar of mayonnaise that you eat separately. I think you know what I mean. So why would we want one size fits all politics? Why would you want a one size fits all political platform? Here's my conservative platform, and it's going to work no matter what's going on, man. If it's war, if it's depression, if it's the best of times, the worst of times, if we've gone mad, if suddenly that comet flies across the sky and drops radiation on the earth and everybody starts popping up out of their graves and we got a Night of the Living Dead situation going on, man. What's the conservative approach on Night of the Living Dead? What's the liberal approach on that? God help me, I don't want to know. I see cats coming up out of the grave and stalking through the night in black and white, eating the flesh of other human beings. The last thing I need is to have somebody impanel a committee. Well, now, if we're killing human beings, do you understand what's going to happen? This is murder. They're walking zombies, man. Yes, well, maybe they were buried alive. We don't know. Now, the panel will meet next week. President Obama would like to move that up in time for the recess, but they're walking around, they're eating people. Who? Who did they eat? I want some verification of this. And, there's one standing behind you. Oh, my God. You know. So I don't play that. So when it comes to a story, man testifies he expected God to heal his child. A father charged with killing his daughter by praying instead of taking her to a doctor read from the Bible while testifying Thursday that he couldn't seek medical help without disobeying God. There are some people that will say the following to you. He has the religious freedom. This is the political point of view that I have. Notice I'm not going to tell you whether it's conservative or progressive. You can figure that one out. And he has the religious freedom. Well, no, he doesn't have the religious freedom. How do you like that one? No, he doesn't. This is one of the Phil Hendry axioms, man. We ought to put these up on the wall behind me here for our video feed so you guys can see it, okay? You ain't got no religious freedom when a kid dies. That's where your religious freedom just ended, Charlie. And not only do you not have religious freedom when a kid dies, you ain't got no freedom at all. Your ass is going inside. And the only religion you're going to get in there, man, is when you get on your knees for never mind.
Oh, man, you're going to say something dirty.
No, I wasn't. I was going to say when you get on your knees in the, you know, prison chapel and... Okay? No, you don't have that kind of freedom. And yet here's this nut, Dale Newman. He told the jury he didn't seek medical help for his child because I can't do that because biblically I cannot find that is the way people are healed. I see. So here we go with one of these cats that whatever's in that book, man, you got to go. And, of course, I get his interpretation and I get the other guy's interpretation. Religion is great so long as it just stays where it is supposed to be. So that's why one size fits all. It don't work for me, all right? So here I am opposing this guy's so-called religious freedom. As far as I'm concerned, this guy doesn't have the right to do any of that stuff, which I guess makes me a liberal in the minds of some people. And yet, when it comes to Al-Qaeda and it comes to drilling oil and when it comes to all of those topics that just make a lot of progressives run for the hills, man, I'm down with it all. Kill every last one of those bat crap guys and then come over here and let's start sinking the drill bits right into Mother Earth and let's start pumping it out of the ground. And I don't care whether the view from the back of Robert Redford's house gets messed up or not. Now, that's where I stand. That's how I feel about things. As far as a guy's religious freedom, you can do whatever you want, man. You can worship the cat god. Those cats that thought that the Hale Bop was going to take him away, that Applegate nut. You remember that guy with the shaved head and no testicles? And he's staring into the camera with the bugged-out eyes, and his name is Marshall Applegate. And that's a made-up name. If you're going to make up a name, you're going to make up a name like Brad Simpson or, you know, Clark Gable. This guy's name, made up, Marshall Applegate, with a bald head, no testicles, and purple sneakers. Yeah. And Marshall Applegate, and he and his devotees, they believe that they're going to go and join Hale Bop. That's okay, man. That's fine. It's when you start killing people where there's a problem. And it's when you start taking into the guardianship that you've been charged with, the idea that you can keep a child from having medical help because God told you, guess what, pal? The kid's going to a hospital. You're going to a nut house. You know what a nut house is, don't you?
Oh, you think I'm crazy. Many prophets have been called. Well, you're just one more, man. Okay, may I call you John the Baptist? Why, I'd like that very much. Okay, just get into the wagon because you're gone. All right? Eddie, hit the siren. And you hear the guy banging on the walls. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I'm Marshall Applegate. Hey, world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. We've got on Crime Night Mark Ebner. And Mr. Ebner, before we tell you about the book that he's written that I've read and is very interesting and apropos for our topic tonight, he's a New York Times best-selling author. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He's covered all aspects of celebrity and crime culture for Rolling Stone, Details, Premiere, and Salon, among others. His newest book, as you guys know, is 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton, Inside the Sex Tapes, Scandals, and Shakedowns of the New Hollywood. Mark, thanks for being with us on Crime Night tonight. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Phil. And we should also add that this book, 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton, just got bought by your old studio, 20th Century Fox, for a television series.
Oh, a TV series. I was hoping you were going to say a movie, man, because it would be a good one.
I think it's more of a series. I want to become the Candace Bushnell of Hollywood crime writing. You know, every time that series, you know, and if they do it right and they do it like the anti-Entourage, you know, they turn that show inside out, then every time it comes up, it'll be from a book from a book by Mark Ebner, and I'll be happy with that.
Right. Well, you got to be executive producer now, and when they take photos of the cast, you have to have yourself in the background in a rather ethereal pose, you know, like the genius behind all of it, like David Chase, you know, like Chase on Sopranos. Congratulations, man, because when I saw the title, and maybe this is the only negative I would have, when I saw the title, I thought, oh, I don't want to read a book about Paris Hilton, but it is in a book about Paris Hilton. It is about, as you say, the New Hollywood. And you start the book out, Mark, and we got to start at the beginning with this fascinating character. His name escapes me now, but you went to prison and visited him. What was the cat's name?
Yeah, his name's Darnell Riley.
That's the guy.
And the way I found this guy is pretty interesting. I had written a book called Hollywood Interrupted with Matt Drudge's sidekick, Andrew Breitbart, back in 2004. Mm-hmm. It was a little New York Times bestseller. And just to show you how things go in the book business, that book got me broke. So, I'm sitting there. I'm living in my Volkswagen bus beside a park in Santa Monica, California.
Seriously.
And I'm wondering what I'm going to do with my life. And like manna from heaven, I get a call from the National Enquirer, and they're like, hey, Ebner, come see the world. So I go to work for the tabloids. And I'm sitting there. I'm basically looking forward to, I don't like sitting up on death watch at Elizabeth Taylor's house. You know, you get a tip that she might be dying today. And in the tabloid world, you have to sit out there and record who comes in and out of her house and all that. Well, I didn't like those gigs, so I'd get sent off to the Midwest to do the BTK serial killer or this woman who ripped a fetus out of some woman and crossed state lines with the
there you go
with the fetus. I was doing those kind of stories, but I found myself at my desk at the National Enquirer, and someone had hacked into Paris Hilton's T-Mobile sidekick, you know, her cell phone.
Yeah, BlackBerry.
Something like a BlackBerry. Anyway, what it had on it was her entire contact list. It had a photo of that guy from Fred Durst. He's a rocker. I forget which band he's in.
Limp Bizkit. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't limp in this photo. He had a picture of him holding his appendage with a little message to her underneath it saying, miss me. I mean, I saw all this kind of stuff. I saw all kinds of stuff.
I got to interrupt you for just a second, Mark. I wonder if Fred took no end of crap, because if you look at his comments on Twitter now, it's all about how much he loves his wife and kids and can't wait to get home to them.
Right.
And I wonder if he's still in purgatory for that. But go ahead.
Well, you know, that depends on what kind of STDs he brought home with him, you know, in the early years. The point is that as a journalist, I always look for the names that I don't recognize. And this name, right after, I think it was Andy Roddick, Darnell Riley came up. And I'm wondering to myself, who is Darnell Riley? Well, in a matter of weeks, I got canned from the tabloids, and I realized this Darnell Riley guy had been arrested for a crazy home invasion robbery of that Girls Gone Wild goon, Joe Francis.
Yeah. And you start your book out with an excerpt of that incident, which is bizarre in and of it. That's a whole book right there.
Well, that was, and you know, the thing is, according to Darnell and his cohorts, that was just another night in Hollywood. I mean, they were looking for a quick score there. Plus, they had it in for Joe Francis, because these guys, Darnell was basically the muscle in all these home invasion robberies, shakedowns, extortion things and stuff like that. He was the muscle. He was the second story guy, the guy with the gun. I mean, this guy had already committed a double homicide, but by the time he had turned 15 years old. So, you know, I mean, he got his master's in criminal arts in juvie. He gets out. He's in his early 20s. He hits the ground running. He hooks up with all these, other cons and models and things like that, and they form their own Twisted Ocean's 11, and they go around.
And let me interrupt you again, Mark, because it's very interesting. In the book, you see how Hollywood and how the underworld came together. A lot of these cats from Hollywood like to slum, as they used to say in the old days, down in Southgate, South Central, at the gyms, didn't they? They like to go and watch the boxing and work out, and these cats would hang with some of these nefarious types, right?
Sure, exactly. You know, whether it's, you know, boxing or mixed martial arts, that's the cool, badass thing to do. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I was going into one of these gyms, the Fortune Gym in Hollywood here, and I see Reese Witherspoon walking in. And, you know, I mean, so everybody wants to be around that element. The thing is, and it takes us back to the entourage thing I'm talking about. It's sort of like, well, if you let somebody in your house, you know, and you're a celebrity or something like that, it's not the person you let in your house, it's his entourage. Because those are the people that are casing the joints. Those are the people who are going to stick it to you later. And that's exactly what went on over and over again throughout, you know, my reporting of this book. And, you know,
that's a really good point, man. So all of these strangers are coming into these houses that these artists are saying, oh, these cats are so cool, they're so underworld, they're so criminal. And they're bringing along these dudes that are checking the place out, and they're too stupid to recognize, I know that guy, but I don't know about a half a dozen other people, right?
Right. Such is the nature of celebrity. I mean, at any level, they're idiots, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up a good point, and we're talking with Mark Ebner, the author of the 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton book, which is out. It's in hardcover. It's great. Paris Hilton is often hailed, and myself is included, as a smart woman, a smart businesswoman. And yet she had contacts with all of these people. And I know I'm maybe getting you off track, and you can go wherever you want to go with this, Mark. But I wonder if there's a day in her future where she's going to get hauled in front of a grand jury. Where she's going to be subpoenaed to testify in front of a congressional hearing, where suddenly Paris Hilton is going to be very hard and fast way connected to criminal activity, you know?
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, I think that if she wasn't busy, you know, ducking the detectives, I mean, you got to understand, these guys had the guys in this book, the characters in this book, they had extorted her with sex tapes and compromising photos and all this stuff they found around her house. But when the detectives out of the LAPD robbery homicide were trying to catch these guys, Paris Hilton was nowhere to be found. She wasn't talking. And these guys can't compel people to come in and give statements. Now, when I contacted Paris Hilton in the writing of this book, I finally got one of her publicists on the line, and the publicist had the gall to ask me, what does my client have to gain by participating in your book project, Mr. Ebner? And I said, well, you know, maybe this won't happen again, because I'm writing about the crimes that were perped on her and all her little friends. And the thing is, those words rang true, because several months after the book came out, she got hit again. She had this rap band. I won't mention them because indictments haven't come down yet. But she had this, like, thuggish rap band show up at her house. And they came into her house, and their entourage is with them. And within 48 hours, she was ripped off for $2.5 million in cash and jewels. So really what it is I don't know if she's going to be on the criminal end, I mean, on the indicted end of these things, but in terms of self-preservation, you know, she might want to cooperate a little bit more. That's my advice.
Why do you think that that she is not cooperating beyond the fact that she fears some retribution? But she's getting, as you say, she's getting ripped off whether she speaks or whether she doesn't. Is it that she wants to remain cool in their eyes, or she fears for her life? Or
no, I think that her lawyers and advisors and people like that are, you know, it's standard operating procedure with these people. They know how dirty their clients are. So, you know, they figure, listen, if this gets hauled into court, she has more to lose in terms of image, as if she hasn't lost, you know, enough already with her sex tape and everything else. But, you know, they're afraid that the stuff that comes into evidence, you know, the stuff that comes out in discovery will be more damaging to their clients. So that's why they don't participate. You know, they just figure anything that comes out, you know, is going to hurt them. So they'd rather just suck it up and play victim for the rest of their lives.
And maybe wait for the other shoe to drop. We're talking here with Mark Ebner, the author of 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton. It's a crime book. It's an investigative book. It's a tremendous read. And we're going to come back with Mark here and ask him. We started out talking about Joe Francis, and there is a videotape that shows Joe Francis, who is the creator of Girls Gone Wild, in not just an embarrassing position, not just in a humiliating position, but I mean, I don't know if you ever recover from this. We'll be back with Mark Ebner here on Crime Night and the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Mark Ebner, the award-winning investigative journalist who's recently written 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton, Inside the Sex Tapes, the Scandals and Shakedowns of the New Hollywood, a new Hollywood that includes a cadre of celebrities who find it fascinating and fun and cool to hang with hardcore criminals, and it is developing that this is not in their best interests. And Mark, we have talked a lot about Darnell Love, who is featured prominently in the book and Will Wright. Let's talk about Joe Francis, the author, the creator, the executive producer of Girls Gone Wild, and how he ran afoul of Darnell Love, because you begin your book pretty close to the beginning of the book with a tape of Joe Francis. Well, you go ahead and give us the background here.
What happened was Darnell had, let's see how it started. One of Darnell's model friends, a Victoria's Secret model, had, you know, been dating Joe Francis. He got a little too rough with her one night. She came back, cried on Darnell's shoulder, and he said, all right, I'm going to fix that guy. He showed up at, what happened was a guy named Will Wright, another one of these con artists, was out in a nightclub with his eye on Joe Francis, while Darnell broke into Joe Francis's house. Of course, he had already gotten the alarm security codes from that aforementioned model. And he just sat there, and he started filling a Louis Vuitton bag full of whatever he could grab, videotapes, cash lying around, jewelry, anything he could grab. And he sat there, and he waited for Francis. Francis comes home in the wee hours of the morning, you know, high out of his mind, in a ski mask. Darnell Riley puts a gun on Joe Francis, has him march up to his bedroom, orders him to lie down on the bed. He turns on a video camera, tells Joe Francis to pull down his pants. He takes a vibrating marital aid, for lack of a better way to describe this thing, lays it down on the crest of the guy's buttocks, and then videotapes Joe Francis saying, "My name's Joe Francis. I'm from Boys Gone Wild, and I like to take it up the And, you know, he has him say this over and over again in this humiliating, compromised position. And he basically ties Joe Francis up, throws Joe Francis in the trunk of his Bentley in the garage. They have a getaway driver. He takes him down to the gates at Bel Air. You know, it's all a gated community there. Dumps him out, leaves him there, jumps in the getaway car. And then this is the biggest bonehead move of all. He thinks that he could take this videotape and extort Joe Francis for any amount of money, you know, to keep it off the internet or whatever. Well, to Joe Francis's, and I'm, you know, I take pause in giving Joe Francis any credit at all. You know, he's now facing federal tax charges. He's been in and out of jail on, you know, videotaping underage girls, showing right. their boobies and stuff like that. But anyway, that's besides the point. Francis, you know, is taking these calls, and, I mean, his house is locked down like Fort Knox with the FBI and everybody, and they got wiretaps, and they're taping these extortion calls. Well, it took the LAPD a year, but they finally arrested Darnell Riley on that caper. Darnell, you know, is thinking how to mount a defense. Well, I was having a homosexual relationship with Joe Francis. They're going through all these things as a way to justify the videotape. And finally, the judge looks at him and says, you know, I mean, they make a deal. His defense lawyer takes a deal. He gets 10 years, 8 months. This is already a convicted murder. He was raised behind bars, so he can do 10 years, 8 months standing on his head and still come out a young man. They send him up to Corcoran State Prison, where he's still sitting with Charlie Manson and Sirhan Sirhan. You know? I mean, so that's the long and short of the Joe Francis escapade. But like I said, that was just another night out in Hollywood. These kind of were going on every day of the week.
You mentioned Joe Francis had, you know, he had a lot of moxie, a lot of guts not to just cave. You'd think a guy who made his rep as sort of the Hugh Hefner of Daytona Beach would not want a videotape like that released.
Just,
and yet,
no, I mean, he really, you know, here's a guy who's absolutely shameless. He didn't care. He didn't care one way or the other, you know. I mean, he was obviously, he cared a lot. You know, when Darnell had a gun to his head and had him face down on the bed, but when all was said and done, what is a videotape going to damage? How much is that going to damage a guy who has made his career videotaping other people in compromised, drunken positions, you know? I mean, I could say if he was actually being, you know, full-on sodomized in that videotape, well, maybe he would have taken pause there and considered a deal, you know, considered paying a ransom on it or something.
You say it took a year to catch Darnell Love for this. This videotape was never released on the Internet, was it?
No, it wasn't. It never did go public. I've seen it seven times. You know, I've got stills from it if you'd like me to send them your way. I mean,
why not, man? We can put them on Facebook and
right.
take everybody's mind off of everything else. Sure.
Yeah.
But, all right, seriously? I mean, we'll throw him up there.
I can probably get you that videotape. You can put it up on Henry.com. That'll be fun.
Well, you're a good man, Mark. You know, when we get done, you know, Jace will get, he'll give you our contact information, and we'll see what the people think, you know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, man, so I'll owe you another one.
Okay.
But so how come this thing wasn't released, Mark? Why did Darnell Love not make good on the threat there?
Well, the thing was is that it went into evidence, and at that point what happened was I show up at the courtroom during his preliminary hearing, and the judge is really funny. What happened was that in some insane move for Darnell Riley, his lawyer, a guy named Ron Richards, this gunslinger criminal defense attorney here in Hollywood, calls me up to the stand. And, you know, from where I'm sitting in the, what do you call it, the gallery, the audience there, the gallery, whatever, he calls me up and he hands me the videotape. And he's in front of the judge while, you know, during courtroom proceedings, handing me the videotape to make some sort of statement, you know, like I'm going to put this out into the media now. And the judge freaks out and she orders it sealed. So, you know, at that point, during the prosecution for the crime itself, that videotape was sealed, so it didn't manage to get out. But knocking around.
Before the arrest, though, before anybody knew it was Darnell Love and Joe Francis wasn't playing ball with him and he wasn't doing what he wanted him to do, I wonder why he was reluctant to release it then when he had it in his possession and could have put it up on YouTube and made good on the threat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he could have. I think it's just a missed opportunity to humiliate Joe Francis, like intended. But
These guys just aren't not as bright as they think they are, and they're dealing with really rich.
You know, I mean, this is the thing. I'm up. I'm interviewing this guy in prison. You know, and he's trying to be some sort of criminal mastermind, and at the same time, I'm thinking, if you're so smart, A, how come you're so locked up, and B.
Right.
You know, that was a boneheaded crime to begin with. You know, the one you got caught for.
Unbelievable. Mark, yeah. Congratulations, man. It's a really great read. You guys need to read this because it's a whole new area of criminality in America. I suppose Hollywood has been a place where crimes have been committed in the past, but this is another step in the mixing of these two cultures, where celebrities who want to be badass meet up with badasses who want to be celebrities. And the book's called 6 Degrees of Paris Hilton. It's written by Mark Ebner. It's a great read, and check it out, Mark. Thanks so much, man. If you're serious, Jace will give you our contact information, man, and we can hook up and maybe I'll get sued, but whatever.
Whatever. I'll send you a care package.
I want to mention your website, too, www.hollywoodinterrupted.com. Mark Webner's.
A lot of the best stuff in the book doesn't make it into the book, so I have two web extra exclusive chapters up there, one of them involving a billionaire that actually paid for services to one Paris Hilton.
Beautiful, okay. All right, we'll read that one, too. Thanks so much, Mark. The best of luck to you.
You bet, Phil. We're being done.
All right, brother. Bye. See you later. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Crime Night.
Phil Henry.